You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, hey, what is going on? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree. I am the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, joy, rest, and abundance for Black women. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode, sis. And no, I'm not editing that out, okay? Let's get into today's episode. I want to share with you, let's get serious here. I want to share with you four things that I am doing consistently to help me on this healing journey as someone who tends to self-abandon and or didn't always have that firm foundation of being able to trust myself. This is something that has been on my heart for a long time. The whole thing with trusting yourself and self-trust and self-abandonment. You know, I've shared my story here. We don't need to rehash it necessarily, but I can say that, you know, I tend to, you know, how they say, what's the saying? Like, what's your not negative trait. Oh, shoot, I forget what they say. Listen, let me just go ahead and keep talking because I'll sit here and try to process it. But, toxic trait. That's what it is. Like, what's your toxic trait? And I wouldn't say necessarily it's toxic, but my thing is I get in my head. I still struggle with perfectionism and like things like that. And so self-trust and self-abandonment for me, like they are... I don't want to say the same. Maybe I do want to say that the different sides of the same coin. So, you know, I've just been working through this over the last few years. I've really gotten intentional in the last year or two on learning how to trust myself more and to not self-abandon. For me, and likely for you as well, if you have a history of trauma growing up, if you are on a healing path of healing from things that happened in your childhood that were traumatic for you, you may have learned unintentionally to self-abandon and also to not trust yourself because of the circumstances going on around you, in your home, in your environment. The people that were in charge would possibly, at least in my case, tend to cause me to self-abandon and not trust myself because it was like they were always right. What I had to say didn't matter. I really didn't know how to use my voice in a way that made sense or communicate well with the people that were in my life because, you know, when you do that as a child and you get cut down or you get punished or you're not allowed to freely express yourself every time you say something, especially if it goes against the norm of whatever's going on in the household, you tend to get cut down, punished, silenced. Okay. And it kind of gaslights you, not kind of, it gaslights you. I'm going to use my big girl words today and not going to kind of myself to death, but, it tends to gaslight someone that goes through that over and over and over again. So you start to question, maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe this is how it goes. Maybe this is right. Maybe I'm too much. I talk too much. I'm too big. I need all the things. I'm too needy. I'm not good enough. I'm bad. You know, things of that nature. And you abandon who you are. You abandon yourself. But it's a part of survival. It's a part of survival. So I'm not telling you this to shame or anything. There's definitely no shame. This isn't something that you've done to yourself. There's no shame. There's no blaming. It's just kind of like identifying what possibly got you to that point. And so, you know, I want to say, obviously, that I'm not a therapist. I am just sharing things that I am learning along the way in my journey, okay? I want to make that very clear. And also, I want to make sure that I say this because, you know, every week I come with a new episode talking about different things that I'm going through or that I've learned or that happened or whatever the case may be. And I want to make it very clear that I'm not trying to, quote unquote, fix you. I'm not trying to fix you. And I want to make that very clear because for me, that is, if you're like me, that's something that I want you to hear very clearly. One of my downfalls was that because I self-abandoned, because I didn't have like faith in myself or I couldn't trust myself, you know, I would feel like I needed to fix myself to finally live a life that I am worthy of. Like, I would feel like I needed to fix all these bad, ugly, broken, gnarly, horrible things about myself. And then I could live, you know, X amount of weight or in business. Then I could do these things in business, okay? So it affects me and affected me on different levels. But I want to make it very clear that when I'm doing these episodes, in case I haven't said this for a long while, the point is not to fix you. It's just to make space to have these kind of conversations, share some of the things that I've gone through, share some of the things that I have done to help me along in my path. But I want you to know, above all else, that you are worthy to live well, and you don't have to fix yourself into oblivion to be deserving of that, okay? I just wanted to make that very, very clear, all right? Because I think that gets lost sometimes when I'm just sharing some things or, hey, try this, or this is what I've done, or here's some steps to thinking about this, or here's some things you might want to try. I'm not saying that, first of all, I can't fix you, number one. The only person, I guess, that can quote unquote fix you is you, okay? But the point of it all is that I'm just here to share and guide and support Black women. I don't believe that we need to be fixed to live well. Supported, absolutely. Seen, 100%. Valued, heard, you know, those kind of, that kind of vibe, 1,000,000%. But fixed, nah. That's not it. All right. So I just wanted to make that very, very clear, right? So yeah, let's talk about this thing because again, it's something that I am currently experiencing, and, you know, I don't like to hide behind things. I want to bring things, you know, as they happen. So I want to say that I don't mean trusting yourself in the way they do in social media, making these cute little things and saying the right words and these platitudes and these cute little vibes. Like, I am so... I don't want to sound like I'm coming for people, but I'm just like so against that. And not everybody's doing that, but I'm just so against that. So I don't mean trusting yourself in fake, just for views kind of way. I mean the real, the raw, when things get gritty, when things feel hard, when things feel tough, like that everyday kind of trust / self-preservation. Okay. And it isn't all hard and all gritty, but I'm talking about just when you're really in it, when you're really in it, and it's like that kind of self-preservation that says, hell no, you know, even though you're supposed to say yes, when you're putting, you know, you keep putting your needs last, you keep breaking promises to yourself, that kind of vibe, but you just don't know how to stop doing that because you've done it for so long. Maybe it was a modeled behavior for you. We don't just wake up one day and say, this is how I'm going to be. Behaviors are modeled. Conditioning happens, okay? Trust, like, it's broken. And it doesn't happen like an, it's not like an overnight thing. And just like it's not an overnight thing necessarily, as you're building this trust with yourself, if this is a part of your journey, which I feel like it probably would need or should be for a lot of Black women, because we are in these systems that could care less about us. And that in itself breaks us down, gaslights us, and causes a little bit of chaos or a lot of bit of chaos in our lives, okay? But just like it doesn't necessarily happen overnight, this process of rebuilding trust with yourself, this process of self-preservation, this process of no longer self-abandoning, you know, it takes time. It is a process. It will happen slowly. It's not like you flip a switch and boom, you're magically, you know what I'm saying, like sunshine and rainbows, right? But so this episode is just about building that trust again, slowly, gently, you know, without proof, nobody's permission but your own, and definitely without a side of perfectionism, all right? So let me be real as we get into this. In case you are new here, and in case you ain't heard, I have been self-abandoning for years. Okay, I have been self-abandoning for years, and I'm so thankful that I started doing the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, because unbeknownst to me, it really helped me in my healing journey more than I thought it would, okay? But just because I've been doing this for a long minute doesn't mean that I have reached the promised land, okay? No, it doesn't. But yeah, I have spent many a year in that space of not trusting myself and self-abandoning. So I wasn't listening to my gut. I wasn't tapped into my intuition. I was saying everything's great, everything's fine. Just put on this mask when you're entering these public spaces or with certain people that you don't feel safe with. Yeah, everything's fine, but I wasn't. And I kind of going back to the whole you don't need to be fixed thing. I would wait and procrastinate and stagnate and all the eights until I had it all figured out. And then I would be like, okay, now I'm gonna embody my full self. Now I'm gonna feel whole. Or once these things happen, I should say, then I'll feel whole. Then I can become the woman I've always envisioned. Then I can be a higher version of myself. Then I can start doing things in my business with more boldness. Then I can, like, it was always I will wait until this happens and I have it down packed. And then, so wait and then, wait and then, wait and then. That's exhausting. The back and forth internally that can do to someone, okay, is exhausting. It is draining. It is tiresome. It is a cumbersome load to have to carry. And I know that I'm not the only one, you know. Raise your hand if you grew up in survival mode. If you grew up in survival mode, you likely have that conditioning. If you find that you are kind of like looping around the same things over and over and over again, you likely grew up in survival mode and you likely have that conditioning as well, right? Because as a Black woman, in one way or another, we don't escape these systems unscathed, okay? So in one way or another, you were likely conditioned to believe not to trust yourself, not to trust your gut, not to listen to yourself, to just people please and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You were taught to make others comfortable, okay? You were taught to be respectable. You were taught to Be a good Black girl. Be a good girl. Okay. Be a good girl. Be a good Black girl. Make yourself useful. Useful. Be quiet. Go sit in the corner until I need you. Be still. Shrink yourself. Move aside. Get out of the way. You know, all those things. So even though inside, at least for a while, your spirit may have, or intuition may have been screaming like, this is not right. What is happening right now is not okay. But again, based on the environments you're in, and you know, it's like those thoughts, those feelings, that intuition would be tampered down in I don't want to say support like you support it, but in other words, to the benefit of where you were getting it from. So yeah, it's not surprising at all whatsoever. If you're not in your head right now, it ain't surprising, sis, if this whole concept of trusting yourself, you're like, what? Like, if self-trust feels just like a whole nother planet, a whole nother world that isn't accessible to you, okay? But just because it doesn't feel accessible, all right, doesn't mean that it's not possible for you. It doesn't mean that you can't embody that, all right? We were born with that. It may have been stripped away, but this is not something that you never had. This is not something that you never had. You have always had it. It just was conditioned out of you over time, all right? So it may be unfamiliar. It may feel scary to put yourself first, to trust yourself more, to, you know what I'm saying, to basically preserve yourself. Preserve yourself. That's basically what it is, self-preservation, and to no longer abandon yourself. And it may seem very odd, especially when you first start, because you're like looking around like, oh, what? Am I going to really say this? Am I going to really do this? Am I really going to believe this? Am I really going to show up in this way? But it's possible. It's possible. All right. So here's what I have been doing. Here are the four things. And this is not all encompassing. Okay. Again, I'm not a therapist. I'm just sharing things that work for me. All right. Or have helped me along the way. Or, you know, I would love for you just to think about and consider and see if any of these pieces and parts fit for your lifestyle, your self-care habits, your self-care routine, your self-preservation, all right? So here are four things that I have been doing specifically to no longer, like to reinstill trust in myself, to kind of, to come back to who I was made to be and who I was when I first arrived here on this planet, all right? So here's what I've been doing. Four simple practices that I try to do daily. I'm not perfect at it, but when I do it consistently, it really goes a long way in remembering who the hell I am and rebuilding what, like that connection that was lost, that connection that was lost within myself. So again, I don't do these perfectly, but they help me have a little bit of structure. And I don't like lots of structure, if this makes sense. I don't like lots of structure, depending on what the thing is, but certain things I do need structure because it really does help me. So this is a little bit of structure that helps me to maintain a level of peace within myself, okay? So you're going to roll your eyes. I don't care, maybe with the first two, because I've said this a million times, and I wholeheartedly believe this, all right? So don't roll your eyes, sis. I don't even care, okay? So the first thing that I want to tell you is write something every single day. Save the eye rolling for somebody else. I don't care. This helps tremendously. We must be, allow ourselves to be in a place of reflection, okay? And just to backtrack a little bit, because I didn't say this before, but how I came to this was I was thinking about, like, after I exercise, I would just have this, because I took action, I got sweaty, I worked my body, I just would feel more clarity. I would, like, my energy, like the energy was moving around, my mindset was clear, like different things like that. So I was thinking, like, what would kind of be like cardio or activity for different parts of my life to help me regain trust within myself, okay? So writing is definitely one of those things. I consider writing kind of like, it's going to sound corny, but it's kind of like cardio for the mind. It's kind of like cardio for the mind. You're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? It's everything, because you're moving stuff around, all right? You're getting things out that you may never say to someone. You are in your own way, making yourself more visible. You're making your needs more visible. You're making your desires more visible. You're getting clear on who you are. You're getting clear on what your values are. Like, that's what I mean. Like, this is how you can learn to trust yourself, but it would be hard to trust yourself if you don't know who you are, what you're thinking, what you need, how you feel, you know, what's going on in your life. And it doesn't have to be this grand, dramatic thing. I think that we get it in our minds that we have to do these sweeping gestures in order for things to, like, in order for everything to be effective or to make sense or to help dial things in. And I don't believe that to be true for everything. I really, really don't. Now, I did talk about, I'm pretty sure I did an episode, or at least I mentioned it, that I follow the journaling habit of morning pages when I'm able to. I forget the name of the woman who wrote the book, but a few years ago, I bought it on Amazon. And it's called The Artist Way. I don't recall the lady's name, unfortunately, but The Artist Way. And basically what she was saying is every morning, get your journal before you do anything else and write out 3 pages. Just let it flow, let it go, let it show. I'm trying to rhyme. But just write whatever comes to mind. Keep your hand moving across the page. Boom, 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 boom. That is definitely one way to do this quote-unquote cardio for your mind. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that you have to do it that way. Okay? You don't have to do it that way. It could just be one line. If you prefer, do it digitally. Open up your phone, an app. Get on your computer. Type it down. Open up your voice note app. Say it out loud. But there has to be a way for you to hear yourself. If you've been silenced for your parts of your life, and you're still silencing yourself by not even like getting words out consistently every day, saying how you really feel, what you really think, what's on your mind, you know, all those things, you're still silencing yourself. You have to get it out. You have to get it out. So again, I consider it cardio. I know that's corny, but this is just how my mind works, okay? I consider that cardio for my mind, and it helps. Some days I write a whole bunch. Some days I follow the morning pages. Some days I don't. It really just depends. But and some days I don't write at all because I'll forget, or, you know, life be lifing, and it may be a few days. I'm like, oh, shoot. I didn't write. Let me go back and let me write something today. You know, it definitely helps. So please, sis, get a journal. Get a small journal and keep it by your bed or put it in your car or, you know, whatever makes sense for you, and just commit for 30 days to doing this four kind of like piece process that I'm going to explain to you. Just commit for 1 week. Commit for 1 week and just see if things shift a little bit in your life and how you feel and how you show up and how you are feeling about your self-trust, okay? So that's the first thing that I would say. Ooh, I need a bit of water, but I'm going to try to keep going here. Getting a little parched. So yeah, write something every day. Second thing that I would say is, and yeah, go ahead and roll your eyes again. I don't care, but this is the truth, okay? Move my body. Move your body, sis. You gotta move your body. You gotta work up a sweat. All right. Now, I'm not telling you to do this every day, but you've got to do something that challenges your body in some way. at least 3 or 4 times a day. At least 3 or 4 times a day. And speaking of, I'm kind of going off on a side tangent, but I read today, and this is unrelated, but it's related. I read today a news article that was talking about the difference between white people and black people. They did a study of some of white men, white women, black women, and hypertension. Hypertension. And if I can find it again, I will put the link. But basically what it was saying is that black women, and followed, I believe, by black men, or maybe I have it reversed, but regardless, black women compared to white men and white women, our probability of getting hypertension shoot way up. I think it said by around the age of 40 or 45, and it says something along the lines of we aren't, like, the movement of our bodies decline once we hit 60, if I'm not mistaken, or something along those lines. What, again, I just remember reading this, and I was just like, wow. So again, I'll try to find the article and link it, but it was saying something along the lines of how we don't move our bodies as much. Unsurprisingly, it said that white women were least affected by hypertension. Least affected by hypertension. And that, to me, first of all, it wasn't surprising. When I say hypertension, I should be just saying, in case you don't know, I'm talking about high blood pressure, basically. And that's a killer, okay? High blood pressure is a killer.
This episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery. So you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
But black women were, like, right at the top as it pertained to having hypertension more. And I'm sure there are obviously so many reasons why black women would be on that list at the top. We know that. But when it talked about not moving our bodies, that jumped out at me. And so, again, related but not related. I really want you, sis. I really want you to be intentionally moving your body, because that is a good thing for you for a variety of reasons outside of self-abandonment, which maybe actually that is connected if I'm thinking about it. But we got to move our bodies. I'm not telling you to go and climb Mount Everest. I'm not telling you to, you know, whatever, go and do a marathon tomorrow. It's not even about that. But seriously, we have got to move around. We have got to move around. And I definitely need to start moving around more. And I have been since my move from from California. I had gained a few pounds. My whole routine had just kind of like gone out the window for the last like 4 or 5 months. And so I had probably picked up about 3 to 5 pounds in the last maybe 5 months of, you know, 3 to 5 pounds of fat, okay, in the last like 4 to 6 months. And so as of late, we have a gym here. That's one of the benefits of this apartment complex that I live in. We actually have a gym. I've never, to my knowledge, lived somewhere that had a gym before. So that has been a blessing. And I'm just getting in there a few times a week, and I'm jogging, just doing 15 minutes of walking, another 15 to 25, 30 minutes of jogging, somewhere in there, off and on between the both of them. And by the time I'm done, I have worked up a sweat, honey. Do you hear me? I have worked up a sweat. And I'll tell you, you know, in case you don't know, I do have a dog. We are allowed to have dogs in this complex. And so for the first time in a very long time, I now have a dog. But the difference is, like, even though I walk my dog, her name is Callie, at least maybe, let's say, 2 miles per day, it's good. It's definitely a benefit for my body. But I can't intentionally move my body the way that I want to. She, you know, she wants to sniff everything. She wants to stop and pee every 20 feet. She sees a rabbit. She wants to pull. Like, I can't, when I'm walking my dog, I cannot concentrate on me. All right. And if we're talking about moving our energy around, talking about self-preservation, yes, that counts. I am taking steps. I am walking. Yes, it is a form of exercise, but it's not an intentional act for me. So I know that a lot of you have littles, and I know this is hard, sis. Please hear me when I say this. Having a dog ain't no comparison, okay? It's just different. I mean, it's similar, I guess. You got to take care of another living being, but it's different, all right? So I get that 1,000,000%. But, you know, we have to make some time to intentionally move our bodies. We have to make some time to intentionally move our bodies. Our bodies hold wisdom, okay? We have got to allow that wisdom to be released in our bodies. We have got to move some of that energy around when the energy is stale, right? I feel like when my energy in my body, like I haven't moved my body or I haven't done these things on the that I'm talking to you about today, it just, like, I feel like stagnation is just right there, and my mood is, I'm always feeling some kind of way. I'm always thinking negative things about myself. I'm not leaning into that faith and self-trust and self-preservation in those moments. I am abandoning myself. You know what I'm saying? And that's because, you know, I'm not doing these things. I'm not consistently moving my body. So, you know, with intention, I'm not consistently intentionally moving my body. Now, your form of moving your body, again, is going to look different for me, but I do feel like I can confidently say that when you're moving your body, you know, and you're working up a little sweat, it doesn't have to be buckets of sweat, all right? You ain't got to lose 15 pounds on a walk tomorrow, but you're moving to the point where you are burning energy. You know what I'm saying? You're moving in such a way where things are being able to be released and you're sweating, okay? I'm telling you, if you can do that 2 or 3 times a week, just committing to 20 minutes, sis, that is going to clear up some things for you in your life. You can stick with it, right? We have to make time for ourselves. And yeah, so moving your body is a way, like I said, your body holds clarity, your body holds wisdom. That goes back from before you were even born, okay? Our bodies hold wisdom. And so we're going to help regulate our emotions. We're going to help clear up confusion. We're going to help anchor ourselves back into this form of self-trust that we deserve to have, all right? The third thing that I would say is consistently, if not every day, if you're writing these 4 things down, make a decision and do not waver. Make a decision and do not waver. Raise your hand if you have ever had a decision to make. It could be from what's for dinner to should I buy that nail polish? Should I go back to school and take those last few classes? Should I, you know, date that person? Should I take that job? Like, How many times have you made a decision or been in the decision-making process and you damn near was fighting yourself because every other minute or every other hour or every other day, you were like, okay, I'm going to do it. Okay, no, I'm not going to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. No, no, I changed my mind. I can't. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Like, pick a struggle. Pick a side. Which one? Pick, make a damn decision. Make a decision, sis, and do not waver, okay? Make a damn decision. Do not waver. Yes, this will help you with self-trust, okay? It will. This is a part of not abandoning yourself. You are learning to trust the decisions that you make, and you are learning to stand in that truth. For whatever decision, or if it was a yes or a no, you're standing in it and you're standing firm. Now, I'm not saying that every decision you make is going to be 100% perfect or spot on. I don't even think that's possible for every decision we make anyway. There's always going to be some pros, cons, consequences, repercussions, you know, and principalities. But we kill ourselves. We kill our spirits. And we invite so much chaos and confusion and self-doubt into our life when we sit there and we are literally going back and forth with ourselves. Nobody else. We're going back and forth with ourselves. On top of that, please do not spend more than a few minutes on a $10 decision, okay? And what I mean by that is we only have so much time. All right. You are built for greatness. You are built for an amazing life. All right. If you are wavering and beating yourself up on a decision, like a $10 decision, like what should I have for dinner? Okay. Or should I spend the extra $12 and get, I don't know. I can't even think of anything, but you know, I'm talking about those small little decisions. Those are like little tears. They're like little slices. Have you heard of like death by a thousand paper cuts? That's literally what it is. These little penny-ass small decisions that we are giving such big energy, right? We're committed to getting this little $10 decision right, whereas the rest of our life is on fire. And we're just kind of like, oh, I don't see that, but let me figure out what color Hydro Flask I want to get. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take 3 hours and scroll Amazon or Hydro Flask website. I love Hydro Flask, by the way, just so you know, they're amazing. I'm going to sit here and scroll through all 500 colors. And then I'm going to pick one, and then I'm going to say, oh, no, I don't think I want that one. Let me look again. I got to make the right choice for this $10 decision. I have to make the right choice. You're putting so much pressure and energy behind this decision that literally at the end of the day means absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things, okay? It means nothing in the grand scheme of things in your life. I've done this a million times. I have done this a million times, all right? Let's stop doing that in 2025, all right? Make a decision. Don't waver. Take a few minutes. Again, this is for the smaller stuff. I'm not talking about this big life-changing decisions, all right? The smaller things that are taking up all your bandwidth on a day-to-day basis that really in the grand scheme of things makes absolutely not much difference at all, okay? It's like saying, do I want a ham and cheese croissant or a bacon and cheese croissant, or a sausage and cheese croissant. Who gives a... Who cares? I'm sorry, but that's hilarious to me. I'm laughing because I do this. I do this, okay? And it's not that serious. I'm not making light, but it's, you know, that's funny. And I know you've done that before, okay? I can see you nodding your head. Pick a damn decision. Make a decision, sis, okay? And move on to the next important thing in your life, okay? And again, this doesn't have to be, it's not about the size necessarily. It's just like, be firm. Learn how to be firm. That was something that was hard for me, and it may be hard for you too, because
when you were younger, when you tried to be firm, when you tried to hold a boundary, when you tried to say, this is who I am, this is what I like or I don't like or whatever, it was shot down. It was shut down. You were silenced, okay? So you didn't have a chance to practice being firm. And what that translated into for me is allowing people to walk all over me for a very long part of my life, okay? Because you weren't allowed to be firm. You weren't allowed to have a boundary or a standard, okay? Make a decision. Make a decision every single day. Make a decision, move on, all right? This is how you're going to build that trust in yourself, trust in your being able to lead and run your life. It'll help with focus. You won't be distracted by all these small, little, stupid thousand or death by thousand paper cut decisions. It won't continue to drain your energy and you ain't going to spiral out. You're going to learn how to stop self-abandoning when you choose a decision and you don't waver. You move forward, all right? And then the last thing that I would say, I'm still laughing at that, the croissant sandwich. The last thing that I would say, sis, is every day or consistently, do one next thing without proof. Okay? Because it's like either you're going to have faith or you're not. Again, shots fired because this is me. I'm raising my hand. Don't think it's just you. But it's like I would need proof and receipts. Is this going to work? This is going to work. I need a guarantee, baby. If I was going to do something, I need a guarantee. Like before I could start believing, before I could start trusting, before I could start embodying, before I could start being bold and claiming stuff, I needed receipts. I needed proof. Like, is this going to work or not? Let me know. I need a written guarantee, all right? Life does not work like that, baby. Okay, I'm sorry. Life does not work like that, all right? So consistently, if you are wanting to embody whatever this vision of yourself is that you have for yourself and for your life, if you want to preserve yourself, get out of struggle mode, be in thriving mode, if you want to, you know, trust yourself, you're going to have to do things without always having the next step in front of you or without always having the guarantee that it's yours. Like, for example, you afraid to apply for that other job or that job that might pay you $5,000 to $20,000 more because you don't have proof that it will work for you. You don't have proof that you have everything that, like, you don't have proof that you're qualified. You don't have proof that you're who they're looking for. So you're like, well, why do I even take the step? Why even put in the application? Why even try? Ma'am, that is not how you embody who it is that you literally are on the inside, or if you want to say who you are becoming. That's not how you embody self-trust. That's not how you embody tapping into faith. That's not how you embody tapping into your intuition and your self-trust, all right? That is self-abandonment, all right? We have to learn how to move forward without always having the cosign, the guarantee, the head nod, the wink, the yes, all right? We gotta just do the one next thing that you can, even if you don't initially have signs or proof that this was exactly it for you. You know what I'm saying? It's really a practice in faith. This is how the next season will begin for you. Some of you are saying, you know, I feel like I'm stuck in seasons. Let me take a sip of water because it's hot. Summer is summering. Hold on. You're saying like, I feel like I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. You do know what to do. How many times have you said you don't know what to do? I've said it a million times. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I do know. You know too, okay? You have to do the next thing. And you know what that next thing is. And you have to do the next thing consistently every day at every opportunity. We have to act as if,
right? We have to do the thing a lot of times before the evidence shows up. That's like, you know, wanting to run a marathon, all right? You know damn well you ain't never ran a marathon 26 miles before, for example. So you have to start training. You have to start training. And there is no guarantee that you will be able to run that marathon. There is no guarantee that you will place in that marathon. There is no guarantee that you even make it to the marathon, you know? There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee in life. There's just not. Actually, I can guarantee you that you won't do anything if you don't prepare for it. Okay, I can guarantee you that. So you have to do the next thing. The next thing would be if you're training, if you're like, okay, I want to run a marathon. I don't have proof that I can even do it, but I'm going to act as if. How would someone who wants to run a marathon for the first time, like if you were working with a coach, what would they do? Maybe hiring a coach is the first thing, right? Maybe it's looking at your eating habits and saying for the next 3 months, this is how I'm going to fuel my body. Maybe it's writing out a workout plan for the next, like if the marathon's in 3 months, this is what I'm going to do for the next 3 months. Week one, week two, week three, week four, and you just build a regimen, a routine. I'm lifting weights. I'm on the treadmill. I'm whatever you do. Listen, baby, I ain't never trained for no marathon before, okay? So I don't know, but I'm just saying you got to do the next thing. You got to do the next thing before, a lot of times, before you can get to the thing that you're trying to get to. You have to take action, all right? You have to take action. I think a lot of times we're just so fearful. We're just so fearful of doing the wrong thing, of being judged, of being misunderstood, of, I don't know, of just all the things. You know what I'm saying? But we have to take the next step, because even though there are no guarantees that you will get to the next step, I can guarantee you that you won't get there at all unless you start preparing for it, unless you are consistently doing the things that you need to do to have faith in yourself, trust in yourself, and to be able to show up consistently. All right? So... Excuse me. Yeah, so those are the four things. And I'm thinking I should run through those four things again. So again, I would say write every day if you can. Move your body every day if you can. Excuse me, I had to get my phone. Make... one decision and stand firm in it every day if you can. And then prepare, like do one thing. Do one thing consistently without having proof that, you know, this is the way. This is finally the thing. You know what I'm saying? Like have some faith. So again, I consider these four things kind of like cardio. So the writing, obviously moving your body is cardio. We know that. So it's not like whatever, but making decisions. Those are like reps. And then self-trust without proof. Doing the next thing. So you're going to build clarity. You're going to be able to regulate your energy. You're going to be able to regulate your moods. You're going to be able to have more focus. You're going to be able to feel more empowered. You're going to be able to build like these are muscles, build your authority, build your focus, build your faith, build your clarity and your self-trust. Like these are like muscles that you're building. So that's why I call these kind of like cardio for the mind, the body, the spirit, you know, your emotions. So those are the four things that I would highly recommend. So I don't know if I gave examples for doing things without, what that looks like in real life, but I would say when it comes to, I gave the marathon example, but also I would say in real life, it can look like applying for that job, like I mentioned before, reading my notes here, saying no to somebody, even though you know they're going to be mad,
resting when there's like a lot of stuff to do, trying something new, a hobby, a restaurant, a recipe, a hairstyle, a lipstick color, okay? Just because you want to. It's like you don't need a reason for any of these things beyond the fact that you are centering yourself. You're learning to trust yourself. You're learning to take action. And you're learning to no longer abandon yourself. And that's a priority, okay? So listen. If you're trying to build a life you trust while abandoning yourself every time it gets hard or uncomfortable, you, just like me, you are going to stay stuck. And I say that with so much love. I say that with so much care. I say that with so much, I don't know, just in ways that I hope to help you honor your humanity. It's like, but sometimes we got to say stuff with a little bit of passion, a little bit of fire, you know? And I say that because, you know, I've lived it and it wasted so many years of my life. It, honest to God, I wasted so many years of my life just not feeling safe enough to even trust myself, all right? And so here's your reminder. You are capable of rebuilding trust with yourself. You are capable of no longer self-abandoning. You're not broken. I think I mentioned that before several times, but I wanted to say it again. Even if you have things that need to be repaired, doesn't mean that you need to necessarily be fixed in order to live your life. And I don't care if it has been decades for you, like it has been for me, right? You can start these four things today. Start small. Again, they don't have to be these huge, grand, sweeping gestures. Like, look at me, everybody. Look at what I'm doing. Like, this can be private. Can be quiet. It can be small. It can be, did I say private? I'm pretty sure I did. It can be private. It can be personal, right? The writing, the moving your body, the making the decisions, doing things without like a cosign or without proof that it's guaranteed 100% to work. Like, that is the work. That is work. That is work. Again, we're not aiming for perfection. Again, it's just about getting out of struggle mode, getting out of survival mode, getting out of I abandon myself at like every step of the way mode, because that was me. That was me, all right? So start today and start small, all right? So listen, I'm going to wrap this up, but you know, if this episode was hitting, all right, please do me a favor and share it on social media so that more eyes can get on it, because I'm not, I don't really share as much to social media as I probably should as a business builder, but to be real, you know, I am prioritizing other things right now, but I'm working on it. But if you could share it on social media, that would be a huge blessing for me. Or if you know of another Black woman who has never heard of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, which is shocking because I'm sure that by now the entire country has heard of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, right? But maybe there's just one more Black woman out there who has never heard the show or who needs the reminders that you and I talked about or the four kind of like tools or steps that we talked about today. Please share this episode with her. And also, if you are ready to go deeper, I want you to check out the show notes because I am bringing back self-care coaching with my Being self-care sessions. So, you know, we're going to take up space. We're going to honor your voice. We're going to learn how to trust ourselves again. You know, that's some of the stuff that we can work through in the Being self-care space sessions. So check the show notes. I've made it very affordable. You're going to spend 30 minutes with me and we're going to get to it. Okay. All right. So again, take up space, honor your voice, learn to trust yourself again. And I will see you next Monday on another episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.